the edge of our hope, at the end of our time. We have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
The strength of this starship lay in its diversity.
You see, our glorious diversity, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are.
You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
But we must fight this darkness that is threatening to engulf us. Each of us must be a ray of hope.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fatty Show. I'm Sean.
I'm Jen, and today on Signal Boost Conversations, we are talking about conventions, economics, and inclusion. But before we get into that, we have to make sure we thank some very amazing people, which is our Patreon supporters. So thank you so much to Joseph the Jovial, Brenda Cooper the Exuberant, and Jeff Zylon the Gracious for becoming patrons of the Skiffy and Fanty Show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for supporting the show. Really appreciate it. It's actually fantastic because you're helping us get just a little closer to world domination, which is, I think, what all of us want.
Oh, absolutely. We're actually, more specifically, super, super close to our first goal, and we just need a little bit more help with that, so...
Yeah, I think right now we're $4.
Yeah, we're like $4 after fees from our goal.
Yes. And it should be noted that $10 subscribers on our Patreon page will be getting the first issue of the Robogoblin Gazette, I think in like a week, which is going to be great. I have seen the cover, which you will all probably see before this also goes out because it'll end up on our Twitter feed. It is gorgeous. And it's probably going to be the best thing you will ever get in your entire life. So you should totally go on patreon.com/skiffyandfanny and join at the $10 level or more.
For sure.
There you go.
Do it.
You should just do it. Yeah.
Do it. Do it. But let's get back to the actual conversation we're going to be having tonight, which, as we said, conventions, economics, and inclusion.
Yeah.
You, Sean... just got to go to NASFIC in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
That is correct. I returned on the Monday before this podcast, which we're recording on a Friday, and I had a glorious time. Puerto Rico is one of the greatest places I have ever been. You should go. It is cooler than Florida. It's prettier than Florida. And there's great food. And there's old stuff to look at. And there's trees and lots of like frogs and lizards. It's just wonderful. Also the beach. The beach is nice.
Yeah, I legitimately kind of want to move there now.
It's actually really nice. Also, funny story. I have a colleague in Puerto Rico, and I told him when I was coming back, I don't want to come back. I just want to stay here forever. And he's like, well, my mom rents apartments, and I could probably get you an adjunct position at the University of Puerto Rico. And I'm like,
what?
I can't move till May because I have to finish my PhD, which is a running thing on this podcast now where I've been like trying to finish a PhD since like 1995, it almost feels like, even though I wasn't in college then.
It's okay. You will get there.
Yeah, so NASFIC was fantastic. It was run by the Latin American Science Fiction Association. I think I've got the name right. I may have got it slightly off. So it was run by, obviously, local fans. It was a small convention, but it was a fantastic convention. There were a lot of great people there. There were authors. There were fans. There were podcasters. Javier Grillo Marxwatch, who most of us know as the creator of The Middleman, and who currently is I believe he's a co-producer on The 100 and other shows he's worked on. He's also worked on Lost. So he was there. I got to be on a bunch of panels with him. Really fantastic. We had a great discussion about television, and it was a really great convention. I also got to go to the rainforest.
Yay!
I literally drove an hour, went to the rainforest all by myself. I climbed all the way to the top of the peak, 3,500 feet, and I got pictures. It's great. View. Or at all curious, they'll be on my Twitter page in the media area. There's a bunch of them there. I'm eventually going to post more, but it's fantastic. So I really recommend going to Puerto Rico if you do get a chance. And if there's another NASFIC in another Caribbean island, go. Puerto Rico wasn't that expensive to get to from where I'm at in Florida, obviously it wouldn't be that expensive, but, you know, it's probably for most people in the States going to be, my guess, anywhere from $300 to $600 a round trip flight, somewhere in that vicinity. If you're in Alaska, it's probably $2,000 because it's Alaska, but I do really recommend it. It's a little expensive to stay, but there are ways you can kind of work around that. And it's just, it's a really good experience, I think. So
I'm sure it is, but a lot of people are in positions like myself, which is part of what we're going to be talking about, which is the fact that it really is a privilege to go to conventions. And like, yes, we talk about that quite a bit. I talk about that quite a bit personally on my own Twitter feed because I really am severely limited. And the Skiffy and Fanti team has been able to go to a couple of conventions now where most of us have been there, if not all of us, which is really cool. And they're everybody's doing that again with Worldcon, which is coming up next month. At least six of us will be at Worldcon. I can't go, though. A newest member of our team, Joyce Chung, will not be able to be there, right, because she's in Singapore. And that's kind of far away.
Far away from
everything.
Very
expensive. So that's definitely like, I'm limited by my ability to go to conventions based on cost. And I'm in the United States where most of our science fiction and fantasy conventions are. It's a very limiting thing for people outside of the United States, many of which hand sell their own books, right? Which conventions are one of the important reasons to go to them as a writer or a creator. And it's just impossible for them to go. So I don't think that's something we can necessarily solve. It's not a problem that's got an easy solution, but there are some really good scholarships out there, which is important. Worldcon, I think, has one specifically. I don't remember what the name of it is. Do you?
I believe it's Connor Bus does Worldcon memberships and flights. I can't remember if they do flights, but I may be wrong. There's the Duff, which is an Australian one that brings a US fan to Australia. I can't remember. I think that's how it's specific. There are a couple of international ones that kind of are out there that will take you someone from outside the United States in, usually from places that aren't the traditional West. But there aren't a lot. So it's like we're getting like five people from outside the U.S. and then people who have the money who can travel. But even then, it's like it's so pricey, right? If you're, I mean, especially if you're an author, it's not like many authors are making millions of dollars writing novels anymore. So it becomes a hindrance for anyone outside the United States to attend them. And unfortunately, that's where a huge portion of the conventions are. More importantly, Joyce and I have had this conversation many times. Publishing is largely housed over here in the United States or Europe. And a good way oftentimes to make contact for a lot of people is at conventions. I've seen people basically meet editors and without even trying, getting the option to pitch to them and have success. And that's something that you can't get if you live in, you know, like Singapore and you don't have the funds to fly to, I don't know, Worldcon in Helsinki or wherever. So it's like a limiting factor. But then even like if we're not thinking just on that terms, like what you're talking about, where like, you'd love to go to conventions that aren't in your state, right? I mean, you're in Colorado, so you've got, like, a couple conventions in Colorado, which is nice. It's not like you're in Montana.
No. I'm very excited about the fact that I'm going to be able to go to Mile High Con this year, probably, because it's right here in Denver. It's literally 15 minutes away from my house, so I can go. Yay!
But that's limiting too, right? Because you're dealing with a very local fandom. And if you're wanting to go to some of these bigger conventions, it requires travel, right? For me, the biggest convention I have, I think, here is either the anime convention in Miami or MegaCon, which is in Orlando. But those are more media oriented conventions. And that's not necessarily like, it's not our thing where we do media, but we're not like let's go spend $25 to get to stand next to William Shatner. Like, that's not what we do.
That's definitely not what we do. Like, we have Denver Comic Con here. I can't even really attend Denver Comic Con, though, because it is really expensive. I don't know if everybody knows that. Like, some of these conventions are really expensive just to attend. In your own city.
In your own city, yeah. Which is also an issue. We don't have any cool conventions in Gainesville. Not really.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm not too far away from things like ICFA, right? The International Conference on the Fantastic and the Arts, which isn't a convention per se, but it is in the same territory. But so like for me, this year, I basically said I can't travel anywhere else. I have to do local cons because I am making two ostensibly international trips. Puerto Rico is technically not international because it's part of the United States, but I'm counting it as one because U.S. territory is different. It's just confusing.
You had to fly over an ocean.
I had to go over an ocean. I had to go, yeah. So, but I'm going there and I'm going Helsinki, and it just became like, I cannot afford to fly anywhere else because I have already put myself in a position where I'm going to spend the next year paying these trips off.
Right. And that's a decision that a lot of people are having to make is, okay, I can go. And you are in a position where ostensibly, so you don't have kids that you have to pay for or take care of, or, you know, you have a job that you can take leave from.
No, I don't.
Well, you can't, but you have vacations in between semesters, at least.
Sort of, yeah, yeah. Very restricting vacations, I should note.
But a lot of people don't even have those, so.
True, that's another factor, yeah.
Right, so really what this comes down to is why it's so important for local writers groups to hopefully start conventions in their own cities in order to be accessible to local creators and fans and things like that. But then, of course, that means that the writers and those conventions basically have to be inviting writers or whoever else and offering them some sort of compensation for it and whatnot. But it really is kind of crucial for the literary scene, in my opinion, to have these local conventions because they do offer opportunities that people are not otherwise going to have because most of us cannot fly to Helsinki at the drop of a hat or even with a year planning. But more than that, you have the issue of accessibility too, right? So we've talked about this on the show with Sarah Chorn and Elsa, Junis and Henry, about how conventions really need to make sure that they are accessible to people with disabilities, particularly when it comes to being on panels, right?
Yeah, paneling or just general accessibility because, so like LunCon, I talked to Mari Ness, it was not the most accessible, which I don't think was necessarily the committee of LunCon's fault. It was the location itself. And it was like, we're in like London, and London itself is not exactly the most accessible city, which is unfortunate, but that's just kind of a reality. I mean, it's getting better. So that was like a concern, right? It's like, there's, how do we make something accessible with what is on hand? And more, I think hotels are getting kind of on board with doing this kind of stuff. But there's also times when conventions just fail, right? Like, I know there have been panels when somebody was promised that there'd be a ramp so they could get up onto the platform for the panel, and there was no ramp, and there was no way to get up. And it's like, well, I could sit off in the corner by myself, but that's not really what you want. And I know you had a story that, like, San Diego Comic-Con apparently had a fail in this regard, right?
Yeah, so, and I think it was Alice Wong at SF Dire Wolf on Twitter. Alice Wong is a disability advocate who does Crip the Vote and things like that. A really important advocate within the science fiction community and talks a lot about the accessibility issue. So I think she just shared this article, and I apologize for not having the citation for this, but someone was sent an email, was invited to speak about disability because they're a disability advocate at a panel on disability at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. And then they would be given one pass, right? Unfortunately, when this person replied and said, oh, that's great, I would love to, but I need this, which is things like an additional pass for an assistant, which is very common for people with disabilities. So, and then one of the other reasons that a lot of people fail, including what happened with this case, they asked, if I cannot come, if I cannot physically attend because of health issues, is there a possibility of a remote panel? The person responded with, oh, well, we will get back to you
or something, and then never responded again sort of situation. It was kind of weird because it seemed like it might not have been directly from officials at San Diego Comic-Con, but it was still something that occurred that people were like, wait, what's going on? Why are they failing so badly right now in terms of disability advocation and accessibility? Because things like being able to do a panel remotely is crucial for people who have disabilities. There are going to be situations in which a person is invited or plans on attending a panel. Unfortunately, because of their health, they cannot do so. Either they cannot fly to get there, they cannot drive, whatever it is, they might be stuck at home, but still should be able to be participants in these panels. Setting up AV equipment is something that they have to do anyway for these things.
Well, for Comic-Con especially, right?
Especially Comic-Con.
Smaller conventions, it may be much more difficult.
Might be a little bit more difficult, but honestly, is it though?
Yeah.
It's setting up a monitor with a Skype call.
Well, but the technology might not be available in the hotel. They may not have the resources because they're a very small con without a lot of money. Right, Comic-Cons, they're for-profit. They are already media-oriented, right? So San Diego Comic-Con has no real excuse for not being able to do this.
They don't.
Right, because they should have the resources on hand, right? But if something like a small convention of like 200 people may not have...
They might not.
They might not, or if they do, it's not very good equipment, right? That can't really handle what is required, right? Comic-Con is like putting someone up on a massive screen, right? They've got it in HD, all of this stuff, right? Maybe at like a very small convention, they can get you in like whatever the lowest setting on YouTube is with like sound that makes you sound like a robot. And that might be the best.
I would argue that that's actually just kind of a ridiculous excuse because I can set up a monitor with YouTube or a Skype call in 10 minutes flat because all it requires is a Wi-Fi password.
You also have never run a convention.
I have never run a convention. But I can set up a Skype conversation on a monitor.
Well, great. I am going to hire you out as the monitor Skype conversation person to every convention in the United States. So just so everybody knows, if you need that person, I am now hiring Jen out for $50 an hour.
You should.
She can do 52 of these situations in an hour, though. So don't worry.
I actually can. It's really not that hard. I did it today.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure you could do it. I just think that for like a lot of these very small conventions, it's like five people running a massive convention trying to deal with programming. Like they don't have like a San Diego Comic-Con, which probably has hundreds of people dealing with all different aspects of it. It's like five people who this is their passion project.
I suppose I will forgive the five-person team conventions that do exist. However, I would say that the vast majority of literary conventions that people are going to these days do have possibilities if they are inviting people from out of state. I'm not talking about the ones that are just pulling from local groups.
Sure.
If they are inviting people from out of state and paying for their attendance, they can damn well set up a monitor with a Skype call. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, so
it's not that accessibility is only difficult. Yeah. If you are making it difficult.
And I think the big thing here is that a small convention that doesn't believe it has the resources to do a Skype call in appropriate quality and reliably would not make the invitation in the first place on the basis that they weren't sure they could reasonably do it. Whereas a Comic-Con in this situation, right, they already said, hey, come on out. We invite you. And then like, oh, yeah, by the way, screw
you. And then totally failed. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So but you've raised some interesting points that I think have broader implications beyond just specifically the disability. But like the one big one, right, is that there is this issue of inclusion, that there are people who in the disability community, right, they maybe want to be part of these events, but they maybe can't travel. Or if they can travel, right, their health can like lead them in situations where maybe they just have to stay in. Or there are other situations, all kinds of situations that could arise that would prevent them from actually attending the panel. And I think a big problem we have, and I don't know what the solution is more broadly, but there are a lot of people who would love to be part of this side of the community, but are not in positions where they can easily do so, whether it's monetary, it is a disability, it is whatever it is. Maybe they're in a place they can't leave. I don't know. And so I feel like there's like this problem where like we have this sort of almost, I don't want to use elitism, I don't know what the right word is, but where, like, there is a side of fandom, like, we attend conventions and we all communicate, we have this little side of community, and people who aren't a part of that don't really get included in the same conversations in the same way.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not part of a lot of conversations because I can't travel to these things. I can't afford to run, like, a Magic Skiffy and Fanty party at a big convention where everybody just comes out and drinks beer. I've seen people do that. I just don't have the resources. I'm one dude.
Well, technically, we're like 13 people now, well, but...
okay. We're like 77 different people. Yeah. But even then, like trying to do something like that, right? It's very difficult. It's time consuming. And I think a lot of the people who are able to do this come from a position of a certain degree of privilege, right? Which, I mean, fair enough, because you do have to have a certain degree of privilege to be able to put on a lot of these events. It's not like there's just like a convention resource bucket that everybody can just dip into, right? That has to come from somewhere. But it still creates this either intentional or unintentional division in which people who have a lot to say aren't really part of this side. So with disability, it's even more extreme, right? Because if you're not inviting them and they can't attend and they don't feel like, hey, maybe you would want to include me in a Skype call or whatever. I mean, I think you just end up setting this division where they're in their own little community by themselves over there. And then there's like this convention community, which all hangs out and they're not talking. Which is, I think, is a general problem with the SFF community in general. It's like a lot of people not talking across community. But yeah, that was like a ramble. I hope that made sense.
No, that made perfect sense. And I think if you look at the history of something like Worldcon, how many times has it been in Asia?
Worldcon, once in Japan.
Yep.
Recently-ish.
How many times has it been in the Middle East?
Never.
How many times has it been in South America?
I don't think ever, off the top of my head.
How about Africa?
And the African continent?
Yes.
Are we going Sarah Palin and going with Africa the country?
I think I'm slightly smarter than that, though not much, but I am going with the continent.
It hasn't been. And I mean, there are some reasons for it that are complicated. I mean, one of the big ones is you need to have a local convention or a group to actually set it up.
Right. You do need to have a local convention. I agree. But we're not exactly encouraging it either, is what it seems like.
No. I mean, I know people in the convention circuit, whatever you want to call it, like that little magic group of like con runners. I know they're like really encouraging. Like a lot of people really were pushing, like Americans who run conventions were really pushing the Helsinki bid. I know there are a lot of people behind the Dublin bid, right? And again, right, these are Western bids, but I mean, like, honestly, like Helsinki would not have been considered, I think, 15 years ago, or at least it would have been considered a pipe dream consideration, right? Just because of where it is, right? And a lot of times American people, I'm trying not to be offensive to this, but they complain about having to travel, which for some good reason, because some people are older and travel is very difficult, right? Which understandable. But other people, like, I don't want to have to pay extra money to fly over there.
Right. The thing it comes down to is, guess what? There is science fiction and fantasy in the rest of the world.
There is.
So maybe they should have some input, too.
Well, I know China has had a bid. It's trying to get that going on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's complicated. But I think that's another big issue here is, you know, with Worldcon, like, I agree. I actually, my personal opinion is that it should go to every continent which has people living on it, other than, you know, like, people living on it in something that could be called a civilization.
Yeah, we're not going to Antarctica.
Right. It should go to each one of those as part of a circle, and that it shouldn't, I personally think it shouldn't come back to the United States. Until it is gone into somewhere on one of those other continents. But that's really difficult because we have to have a convention culture that exists in these other places. And that convention culture has to have the resources to actually be able to put this together and to provide all the things that are required for this, which, you know, I don't know enough about fandom on, say, the African continent. But my understanding is that fandom's developing. It's growing. It's getting bigger. India is another example, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Presumably, at some point, we're going to see an India bid.
I hope so.
Because it's a massive country. It's got to have, like, 8 trillion people who love sci-fi.
Well, and we need to make sure within the rest of the community that we are promoting these things too, right? Because
we do.
We need to be encouraging those fandoms. We need to be encouraging that the Worldcon committee, CIFWA, whatever, are also encouraging local fandoms in order to make this happen.
Well, we got to be talking to them.
We have to be talking to them. And I don't know if that's happening right now. I honestly have no, I have no knowledge of that, so I'm not going to comment it. I'm just saying that I hope it is happening, and if it isn't, I hope we make it happen.
I mean, I think it probably happens more than we would guess it does, but not at scales that would lead one to think that there's going to be a massive shift in sort of like the Worldcon fandom community. Yeah, and I think... And that is obviously much more, it's just very complicated. There's like money, there's community size, there's energy, there's desire, there's like people have to actually know what the hell a Worldcon is.
Right.
Which if a Worldcon's never been to like Morocco, right? And nobody from like the Worldcon fandom is talking to anybody in Morocco, why do they even care about a Worldcon? That's just a thing that's over there, right? We got to do our own thing. We're going to do MoroccoCon. I don't know if there's a MoroccoCon, but I think there should be now because that sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. I think what it comes down to is it's really stupid that the World Series of Baseball is called the World Series of Baseball.
Yeah, because we only play like Japan in exhibition games.
That's all I'm saying. And I think we should end it here because we've gotten a little bit long on this.
Like a lot of this is spitballing and like, again, we don't run conventions. And so there's a lot of stuff we just frankly don't know. And so we're a little bit ignorant of. So if you happen to know a lot of this stuff and you have some opinions, please email us, skiffmefanny@gmail.com. We'd love to have, you know, a perspective from inside baseball, essentially.
Yeah. If you want to write a guest post on this subject, that would be amazing.
Would love that. That would be fantastic to kind of give us more of a perspective on how this would work within a broader international context. Because I'd be very curious about that.
And so, if there are local conventions in these places that anybody knows about, let us know so that we can give them shout outs and hopefully get them more support from within the Western science fiction fantasy community.
Right. If there's a MoroccoCon, I will plug the crap out of it.
Just because of the name.
Yeah, because it sounds so fun. It's in Morocco.
Exactly. Real quick, before we go to our mini boosts, keep in mind, everybody, that next month, six of our members, I think it's six of us, will be at Worldcon in Helsinki. So say hello, contact us if you want to get interviewed. We will be doing interviews. So if you want to do a signal boost, if you want to do a longer interview, whatever it is, let us know. We'd love to have you on the show while we are visiting Helsinki.
Yeah, it'll be Worldcon 75 from, I believe, August 9th to the 13th. And I don't know how many, some of us will be there earlier, but yeah, I don't know exactly when we will be wherever we're going to be.
When we find out everybody's schedules, we'll be posting those too. So you can come say hello to the Skiffy and Fanty team. I sadly will not be there. I'm hoping that in 2 years, I will be able to go to Dublin though, because that would...
Well, make sure to vote for Dublin, which I think the deadline's actually coming up very soon.
I don't have voting rights this year, but everybody else vote for Dublin. And then the last thing is that hopefully the entire Skiffy and Fanty team will be at Convergence next year, or at least most of us. So that would be very cool. And we're advocating for that. So plan your trip to Convergence next year to say hello. That's all I'm saying. Shall we get to our mini boosts?
Let's do it, Jen.
All right. You want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to boost some stuff that I learned about while I was at NASFIC in San Juan,
Yay!
Puerto Rico. Yeah. So I have an author and a podcast to plug. So the author is, her name is Diana Chaviano. I hope I got that right. There'll be links and everything in there. She's a science fiction fantasy author with some other kind of components in there. She primarily writes in Spanish. Some of her work has been translated, and hopefully more will be translated. And I really just think people should be looking into her work and just basically talking about it until everybody translates everything. Because she's fantastic. She's wonderful. She has great perspectives on the world. I was on a couple panels with her. It was just lovely. So that's my first. So hello, Diana. You are wonderful, in case you hear that. And then the other is a podcast by the name of Vox Robotica. That's Robotica with a K. And it is a Spanish language science fiction podcast for anybody who happens to listen and is looking for something in Spanish. Well, there you go. You've got now a podcast that's on it. Now, since I don't speak Spanish, I have no idea what's on the podcast, except that it's about science fiction. I know for a fact Berto talks about books and movies and all kinds of science fiction topics, so it's sort of a very conversational podcast, but I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. But I said that I would plug it because I have a feeling we have some Spanish language listeners, and I think it's great that there are podcasts in a variety of language on science fiction. More power to it, and I hope people will listen to it. And if you're maybe not first language is not Spanish, but you're practicing your Spanish, also a great way to do it because it's about something you care about and it's in a language you're learning. A plus.
Damn Skippy. Yay. And if you know of any science fiction fantasy podcasts in languages other than Spanish as well, please let us know because we would love to share those with you.
Yeah.
So my plugs. Yay. So my first one is that Kay Tempest Bradford and Aline Sims just started a new podcast called Originality not too long ago. It specifically is asking the question of where, how, and why of creative genius, basically. Where do people get their ideas? How do they keep themselves organized and productive? Why do they do what they do? All of these questions is what they are asking and exploring with some really awesome guests. So highly recommend. It's at relay.fm/originality. So go check that out. The second thing that I'm super excited about is there is a Kickstarter currently. It's got another 30-odd days from the time that this podcast airs to go support it. It is called We're Still Here, an All Trans Comics Anthology. It is being edited by Tara Avery and Gene Thornton. There are going to be 55 stories by 55 different creators or teams. All of them are transgender, and they are going to be telling stories. It'll be fiction, nonfiction, all sorts of different stories, all from transgender creators. So I'm very excited about this, and I think everybody should go back it because I'm too broke to do so myself. You can find that on Kickstarter. We're Still Here, an All Trans Comics Anthology. So go find it. The links will be in the show notes, and yeah, go for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome people doing awesome things.
Yeah. It's fantastic, right? There's so much stuff.
So much stuff that we can't boost at all, but we will try. And if you have things that you think we should boost, please let us know and we'll check them out and get them out to our listeners.
Yeah, please let us know if you find anything really cool that, like, anything like that just you think needs some love, that's just not getting the attention you want, you think it should, and you want to give it some extra love, let us know. Pretty much what it comes down to.
Faux shizzle.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
I will never say that again. I'm sorry.
No, please don't. Oh, Snoop Dogg in the house. We are done. So on that note, you can find us in all the places. SkiffingFanty@gmail.com. Twitter is @SkiffingFanty. We're on Facebook, The Skiffing Fanty Show. Patreon.com/SkiffingFanty. Go there to help support the show. And that's it. I think we're good. So just to make things a little weird, Jen, I just want to say this. I love you.
Damn it. I love you too, honey.
And on that note, awkward ending and scene. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us at SkiffyAndFanty@gmail.com, on Twitter at SkiffyAndFanty, on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show, and on Patreon at patreon.com/SkiffyAndFanty. Our intro and outro music comes from The Launch by Chronux. You can find out more about their music at freemusicarchive.org.